Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. It is Thursday morning, and you can hear the crowd in the plaza in the background cheering. It is a fun day. It's Thursday morning. That means it is time to check in with our friends at LSS Living, Lutheran Senior Services, lssliving.org. And my Thursday morning co-host, Anne Marie Wallace. Good morning, Anne Marie.
Good morning, Andy. Yeah, we have lots of cheering going on today because we have tons of special guests here in studio. Actually, we've created kind of like a Good Morning America Plaza outside your studio, because today we brought with us our talent acquisition team from Lutheran Senior Services, because we're throwing back the curtain and we're talking about what it's like having a career in senior living. So that's why today I brought Katrina McCarver.
Hello, everyone.
Good morning, Katrina. Thanks so much for joining us. Now, you're part of the team at LSS. Tell me a little bit about what you do.
Sure. So I'm the director of talent acquisition. So talent acquisition is just a big fancy word for recruiting. So we're working on getting the best people to come and help us fulfill our mission and care for our residents.
Now, Anne Marie, I noticed you mentioned when you were talking about today what it's like to be a part of Lutheran Senior Services. You definitely used the word career, not job.
It is. And we feel like here at Lutheran Senior Services, it is a career. It's a calling of
what
we do, to bring our talent, to bring our passion so that we can serve older adults. And I do want to remind people, if you're like, well, how many people are here? A great way to see is by going to facebook.com/Lutheran Senior Services. And you can see all the great people that we brought today.
Yay.
They're outside of the studio wall right now cheering.
They even brought their signs today.
Yeah, they did.
Creative signs.
The awesome
three cheers
signs
for LSS. I love it. The grass is greener at Lutheran Senior Services. Excellent. These are creative signs.
My village. I love that. Breeze into our park. Oh, and there in the back, and the talent, mission, passion. So that's something that at LSS that I think that Anne-Marie hit on, is that it really is a mission and it really is a calling. And at some organizations, you know, you see the taglines,
mm-hmm.
but here at LSS, it really is how we live and how we carry out our mission of helping our older adults live life to the fullest.
So we did have two special guests just walk in from our plaza.
Hey!
Hello, hello. Welcome. So we have with us Rachel and Paula, and both have a career here at LSS. And we thought it'd be good to bring them in to talk a little bit about what it's really like. So ladies, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
So tell us a little bit about what community you work at and what you do.
My name's Rachel. I work for St. Joseph's Bluffs and Heistinger Bluffs in Jefferson City. When I started there, I actually started as an RA. I moved to a CNA, and I'm currently administrative assistant in transition to talent acquisition assistant.
Congratulations on your new job.
And shout out to Mid-Missouri.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, you had a little bit of a commute this morning.
Yeah.
Well, I came in last night. It was too long of a drive in the morning.
Well, thanks for coming over and spending some time in St. Louis with
Absolutely.
Us.
Absolutely.
And hi, I'm Paula Mason. I am at Laclede Groves, and I have been there for 12 years. I started off as a CNA, and now I work in staffing and payroll.
Very good.
And I love it.
Very nice.
Why did you've been there 12 years. What has been the thing that has really kept you a part of the LSS family?
That's just it. It's a family. I am a caregiver from the heart. When I am there, it's just like being at a second home. I'm with my family. As I said before, they're like my grandparents, my aunts, my uncles, even with my coworkers, my brothers and my sisters. So it's not, you know, going in just to take care of them. A lot of times they've taken care of me. So that's it. I mean, they say, oh, the residents, oh, you make my day. Well, you've made my day. So 12 years felt like, you know, it's just day to day. It's what I love to do.
I think there are some myths about working in senior living communities or caring for older adults. Can we do some myth busting today?
Oh, please, Andy. We love when people ask us that. Katrina, you probably get those questions all the time.
Absolutely. A lot of things that kind of things that I hear are that, you know, you're just going to a community so that you can watch as people pass on from this world, or, you know, it's the senior living communities are a place where nurses go when they can't make it in the hospital world. So, ladies, would you like to tell us about why you chose Lutheran Senior Services versus the hospital environment or versus another environment, and kind of help us bust those myths about senior living?
Absolutely. So, speaking from my own mindset prior to working with Lutheran Senior Services, senior care is such a taboo subject. There's a cream to stop your skin from aging. There's this. Like, yes. You don't want to age, and it's sad and it's depressing. And when it comes to taking care of seniors, people really thought about this as an awful task or a daunting task, when in reality, it's not that way at all. For caregivers all throughout LSS, because I've had the pleasure of, I met Anne Marie a year ago, and I've gotten to meet people from all different communities. Mm-hmm. You get in the mindset of, you're not going to work, you're going to someone's home. And you didn't see them from where they started, you're seeing them from where they came, where they're at now, sorry. And to get the opportunity to sit with somebody and listen to them tell you how it was to wake up next to their spouse for 70 years, every single day, it's an honor. It's not a task. You're blessed to do so.
I totally agree with you, Rachel. It's a pleasure. When we go into their homes, you know, they invite us in. There's a expectancy of, you know, greatness to take care of the residents. And again, it's an honor. We are accustomed to taking care of loved ones, you know, our family when they age or something happens to them. But their families have entrusted us to take care of their loved ones. So when they're away and they, you know, they are at our, you know, I'm coming to your home to take care of you. They want to know that when they're not there, that there's someone they're loving on them. And that's exactly what we do. They open up our hearts and they've opened up minds to a different level. I did not get an opportunity. Both my parents died at very young ages. So again, I just take them in as my mother, my father, my grandmother, my grandfather. And it's not, it's the end of the world. These people have lived lives. Like you said, they woke up next to their spouses for 70 years. They've had children, grandchildren. And listen to some of their stories, you'd be amazed at the life that they've lived. You know, we take it for granted, oh, they're just here to wither away, but that's not true. I've actually had some great experience in learning from them, and you know how to, you know, go about raising children and just how to stick things out with our marriages and just life mm-hmm. in general. So it's an opportunity. It's not a job. It's just awesome. And I could not imagine working anywhere else but Lutheran Senior Services.
So it sounds like to me that you are, in addition to serving them, you're learning a lot from an older generation that you find valuable and applicable to your own life.
Absolutely.
Exactly. And you know, you don't have that opportunity in the hospitals. You're constantly turning over patients. The other thing that's really neat, Andy, is we have started REACH units, which are really units that our residents come to after they've had a surgery or things like that. And so it really also gives our nurses that opportunity to work at that higher level and use their critical thinking skills. And so we have just a wide range of opportunities for healthcare workers. So
absolutely. I've talked with some of our nurses, and going to a hospital versus coming to like a REACH short stay, yes, it is a little tiny med surge floor. It really is, but you get the care of the community, of the family, and your nurses on a day-to-day basis are using those skills. They are, you know, treating wounds, and they're doing all these awesome things every single day, and they're hands-on. And I don't think a lot of nurses out of school think that's what they're going to get when they come, but they do when they come with Lutheran Senior Services.
Absolutely.
I love hearing what you guys are all saying. I think it's incredible. And these are some of the things that we hear all the time from our employees across all our locations. But it's so valuable when you guys can just tell everyone exactly what your experience is like. Because when I get the opportunity to go out to communities, it is a big family. I know you guys do birthday celebrations and anniversary celebrations and holiday and all those great things. And it's that family. And that is something that that is really special and really unique to Lutheran Senior Services. Yes.
How would you describe, every job has its challenges. How would you say that the work that you do and that your team at LSS does is challenging? What makes it challenging and what drives you to meet that challenge?
Again, it's like a family. I have a fight with my sister, we have to still be together. True. We have a connection. And the challenge is we know why we're here. We're here to support someone, you know, we're in their home. They've opened up their doors to us, and we can't let them down. We won't let them down. So that's the challenge. We have to overcome what our problems is. Realize that, hey, we're here for a purpose. You know, we've been accepted into someone's home and entrusted to do a job, and that's what we're going to do.
Sally. Oh, ladies, thank you so much for what you had to say. We're going to say goodbye to you now and thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, we've got our crowd.
Yeah, good out there.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rachel. Thanks, Paula.
So, Andy, we did want to bring in Rachel and Paula because they had such great things to say about working at LSS. And kind of, you're right, debunking that myth that it's sad and depressing. I can promise you it is not. We have tons of fun. But then on your same train of thought, there's a lot of myth out there that comes with the fact that if you're in senior living, somehow you can't have a career, you can't grow, you can't develop. And so our next guest is Drew Redman.
Hello.
And
morning, Drew.
He has definitely had a career at LSS, which is why we wanted to bring him in so that he could tell a little bit about his experience.
Absolutely.
Drew, what brought you to LSS?
Well, I started actually as an unpaid intern at one of our communities, Breeze Park in St. Charles. And a lot of people think that you've got to be a nurse or a clinician to work in this industry, but my background is business administration. And so I met with the executive director there, and we talked about opportunities, how I could use my background and make a difference in the lives of those residents. So,
and so how have you... Let's talk about your career. You started as an unpaid intern,
right,
learning about LSS and ways that you could serve there as well, using your skills as an unpaid intern. Where did it go from there?
Yeah, so LSS, what's great about it is they always look at growing their own people before looking outside.
Absolutely.
They've offered me opportunities all along the way. I'm kind of a job hopper because I've been at four different communities, but all within Lutheran Senior Services. So after being an unpaid intern, I went on to be an administrator in training, which turned into an administrator position in Jefferson City, and then administrator back here in St. Louis, to now I'm the director of clinical quality for the organization. So I work out of our home office.
Yeah. So when he says job hopper, so when you talk about your career path, it feels like that would be a really long time. So how long did it take you to progress to where you are now? How many years did you?
Well, I've been with the organization just under 6 years now.
Wow.
So I was,
oh, I had no idea.
Yeah, 6 years. Yeah. I always joke, five of those were paid.
Yeah.
So, six total, five paid. But yeah.
Well, I laugh as well because I started off as an intern as well in our communications department. And so just like Drew, you know, it's a growth where they're invested in seeing your talents and your gifts used in the best way possible to help a great mission, older adults living life to the fullest.
And I would say, you know, when you look at even like my team, the Rachel and Paula, who were in here earlier, both of them have been people who have come into the organization and started out as those frontline caregivers and have had such a passion for wanting to make sure that we have, you know, the people in the right places, and Paula's case and looking for the right fits to make sure that we have the right people here that they have really pursued growing. And, you know, one of the things that LSS does that not a lot of companies do anymore is we provide tuition reimbursement. So we not only have tuition reimbursement, we also have scholarships. So people who join our organization, especially if being a clinician is what is in your heart, you have the opportunity to come here and grow. You know, you start out in housekeeping or dining, and then after 6 months, we have a CNA school you can go to. And then we have scholarships to help you go to nursing school or to go to culinary school. So there's so many opportunities here for people to grow.
Drew, in 6 years, you've progressed quite a bit within the organization. And you talked about, you know, working as an intern in business administration. The business world can be quite competitive, and there's a lot of turnover in the business world. Why did you want to stay with LSS? What has driven you to stay with Lutheran Senior Services?
Well, one thing that's different about this industry, I think, is just the reward that you have from serving the residents. And that's the piece that was missing before I came into this industry. It's why I wanted to get into this in the first place. So also countless times I've seen the organization make decisions that it's not about necessarily what's the best financial result, what's the right thing to do. So it's been nice to see those type of decisions get made.
Great point. As an administrator, it sounds like you're in touch with the residents' life. How do you connect with the residents? How do you know what's going on in the life of the residents? How are you aware of what's going on in the communities that you're serving?
Well, you really can't help but be in touch with what's going on as an administrator. Because really it can be in any number of ways. It could be related to how the food was that day. It could be to the quality of the activities that we're providing. You know, it's those type of discussions. You've got to have those type of discussions with your residents to know what they want. And we really let them drive their day to day. So,
oh, Drew, I love to hear what you have to say. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Congratulations again on the new position.
Thank you guys.
We're really excited.
Thank you.
Bye, Drew.
See you.
Thanks, Drew.
Thank you. Yeah, so, the crowd out there.
They're still cheering away. And Drew is just one example, I think, of many. And Katrina, you probably are aware of so many more of people who have kind of grown at LSS and developed their career here. And it's definitely a possibility. And so if you're listening, you might be wondering, okay, this sounds like a really cool organization, which it is.
Yes.
What's kind of your next step then? So Katrina, this is your area of specialty of helping people connect with LSS. Why don't you introduce our next two guests as well?
Absolutely. So with me today, I have brought the experts in bringing people on board. And if you'll look out there, I have a whole bunch of other experts too that William's trying to cover up his face. But but the experts in bringing people in and really connecting with our candidates and finding what's the best fit for them and what's the best organization. So this is Aaron Krause. He is the recruiter at our Mason Point location.
Good morning, everyone.
And Shalitha, who works with HCBS, Affordable Housing, and Mason Point. But, you know, any member of our team can talk about any one of our communities. That's the beauty of having a centralized group. So I'll turn it over to them and let them talk about some of our community affiliations and how to join our team.
Well, thank you, Katrina.
How do you join the team?
Well, I guess before we can get to that, I think the first myth or one of the first myths we have to bust keeping to that topic is you do not have to be Lutheran to work for Lutheran Senior Services. So we want to get that out there right now, have it clear. We invite all people to come down or to get to our website and apply to our positions. So following that up, how do you apply? Well, first you're going to go to our great website, which is lssworking.org. Once you're there, basically you're going to see on the left side of the page, there's ways for you to filter by community. Once you do that, then you can select the job that you'd like to do or multiple jobs that you'd like to participate. You don't have to just choose one. If you think you have a lot of different skills you could bring to the company, please select more than one. And you can tell us then which one you'd prefer most, second most, etc. After that, you're obviously going to click on the job, hit apply. You're going to go through the steps of the application, which personal information, work history. So if you haven't had a chance beforehand, go ahead and get your work history down, maybe a resume too. That way you could attach that. And after that, you're just going to click submit. And possibly if you're a clinical person, you're going to go on to fill out one of our assessments afterwards as well. But once that process is done, we kind of pride ourselves on how quickly the process can go, actually. Because once that happens, once we receive your application, you're going to get reached out by one of the members of our team, often one of our recruiting assistants, about setting up an interview with one of our recruiters, a phone interview for the first step. And after that, once you go through that process, which lasts maybe 15 to 20 minutes, you're going to then get invited, hopefully, if everything went well, to a face-to-face interview on site at one of our communities, the community of your choice, obviously. And then from there, it's kind of in the hiring manager's hands, how that interview goes and everything like that. And then once we know we want to move higher with you or move forward with you, we then can move forward pretty quick. We like to, once we have you in there, once we know we like you, we like to get you an offer pretty quick, and get you going through the process so we can get you in for a new hire orientation day, and get you situated with our family.
It's one of the things that my team prides themselves on is making sure that all of our candidates are contacted within that first business day. Mm-hmm. So you guys who are out on Facebook, make sure you're going out and applying so that we can reach out to you today when we get back to the office.
Absolutely. And I would assume, Shalitha, you then get to be in touch with so many different candidates.
Yes.
And I'm sure one of the great parts about your job is finding those people who are super passionate. They have the skills, they love, and they're looking for a job that they can love.
Yeah, absolutely. We not only just get our candidates from them applying, we participate in a lot of hiring events, and we have some community connections that we have. We use St. Patrick Center as just one of the people or the groups that we use to locate candidates. So you may not necessarily have to go to our website. We might personally invite you to apply. So there's a lot of ways, to apply and become knowledgeable about our company and about our positions that we have open.
We also have a CNA school that is in-house. And so Shalitha is our contact that works with that advisory board for the CNA school. So we also have members of the community who join that school. And so we talk directly to them and work with those candidates to help them find placement once they have completed their program. So if you're in a program right now, any program, and our Facebook listeners, please feel free to reach out to us because we want to really help you be able to find that good fit once you have finished up your program.
Sometimes I think of your department as like the big puzzle piece master.
Yes.
Like you guys know you're recruiting for these great positions and you are on the hunt for that candidate that's going to fit. Their puzzle piece is going to fit right in there to complete the picture. So you guys are master puzzlers.
Absolutely.
Speaking of education, random question. Are there other clinical programs, say here in the St. Louis area, that come to LSS for clinical experience for their students, and then that's how they find out about LSS and say, this is where my dream job is, this is where I want to go after they have their clinical experience at LSS?
Go ahead.
Well, we use a lot of times we have like applied I believe it's called Applied Tech. So we use a lot of their students. They come in and they complete their clinicals. A lot of times we're able to offer those participants positions. So they not only find out through the program that they're involved in, but they tell their friends. And, that filters throughout the community. So.
Yeah, and we work very closely with our clinical education department. And so as we have those different students that come in, we even have some students that are completing their bachelor's in nursing that are coming through that we work with. And of course, Drew was in here before and he was a business major. So we definitely try to pair up with them and work with them to bring those candidates in.
Well, I just want to say thank you to everyone. Katrina, you and your entire team, you guys are amazing. We love what you do at Lutheran Senior Services. We are so thankful that you are on the hunt for people who are filled with passion, who are filled with talent, so that they can come and be a part of a great mission, a great family.
I have learned a lot. I've learned a lot today. Thank you.
Oh, you're most welcome. So just to remind people, if they're looking, they want to search a little bit more, they can always go to our website, lssliving.org. But if you want to apply, you just go to lssworking.org and you can start that process there. And one of our great talent acquisition specialists will be in touch shortly then. So thank you. Round of applause to all of you.
Thank you. What is, before we wrap up, what's coming up next time?
Andy, I know you're super excited because 2 weeks from now, we're going to be at Merrimack Bluffs Senior senior living community for one of our on-site ones. So gather up all your equipment. Get ready for a road show. We're going to be meeting with some of the residents from Merrimack Bluffs. Of course, we're going to be talking with their executive chef, Christopher. He might be making something delicious for you. I'll leave it at that. But then also just talking to some of our residents, seeing what they're doing over at Merrimack Bluffs and how they're living life to the fullest. So that'll be April 6th at 10 a.m.
Thank you very much. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week.
Concordia University, Wisconsin in Mequon overlooks a half mile of beautiful Lake Michigan shoreline. CUW campus is located 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with over 70 undergraduate majors, 28 graduate degree programs, and doctorate programs in pharmacy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and nursing practice. CUW offers online learning and accelerated learning at one of 9 Wisconsin centers and one in St. Louis. Traditional or accelerated education, CUW has the program for you. CUW.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
To hear Planned Parenthood President Cecile Richards say it, there'll be a major health care crisis if Congress takes away their funding. She claims they serve over 2 million women each year. Well, that's about 2% of all the women in America. Giving them the benefit of the doubt, this means almost 98% of America's women will not use Planned Parenthood service. Think about that. Nearly all of the nation's women will not use their services, yet they receive over $500 million of our tax dollars each year. The sky isn't going to fall if Planned Parenthood's abortion agenda isn't funded with your money. Tell Congress to end their funding. Visit lifeissues.org today and click on the microphone icon. We've made it easy.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Hi, we're Jonathan,
Matthew,
and Nathaniel Clayton.
We listen to KFUO every chance we get.
One of the shows we like is Thy Strong Word,
hosted by Pastor Whedon.
One thing I love about Thy Strong Word is how they are able to tie in what great church fathers have said about the passages.
I like that Thy Strong Word gets through a whole chapter of the Bible each day and shows the things you never even knew were there.
What I like about Thy Strong Word is that Pastor Whedon, the host, is fun and always energetic as he studies the text.
We would encourage you to listen to KFUO every chance you get.
Just like we do.
God's Word is our great heritage and shall be ours forever. I'm William Whedon, LCMS Director of Worship. We romp through the sacred scriptures, rejoicing in the salvation that is ours in Jesus Christ.
Thy Strong Word, weekday mornings at 11 on Worldwide KFUO, underwritten by Lutheran Heritage Foundation. Visit them on the web at lhfmissions.org.
Hi, I'm Pastor Ted Lesh, pastor at Chapel of the Cross Lutheran Church in North St. Louis County, inviting you to listen to our KFUO radio worship broadcasts on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Active worship, preaching, music, and singing are part of every one of our services at Chapel. Join us Sunday nights at 6. It's one more broadcast worship opportunity for you from your friends at Chapel of the Cross and KFUO Radio.
The psalmist once wrote, "Those who trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and even forevermore." Hi, I'm Pastor Mark Hawkinson. On Sunday's Moments of Assurance, I'm going to be talking about that surrounding presence. It'll help you. Join me for the broadcast at 9:15 a.m. on Worldwide KFUO.
To Faith and Family, I'm Sarah Golseth. Music, especially the musical heritage of the church, is incredibly important to pass down to our children. Musical training has been shown to have cognitive, emotional, and health benefits for our children. But beyond just those physical benefits, music, especially singing, which is one of my favorite things to do, plays an integral role in the worship life of the church. When children are brought up to love singing, it's just that much easier for them to be immersed in the singing of liturgy and hymns in our daily or weekly worship.
So joining me by phone today to talk about encouraging young people to sing and an upcoming workshop for that very purpose is Dr. Jerody Baker-Marsh, Director of Music at St. Paul Lutheran High School in Concordia, Missouri. Welcome, Jerody.
Hi, thanks for asking me.
Yes, we're very glad to talk to you today. And you have a bit of an interesting background and a path that led to your current role at St. Paul Lutheran High School. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I actually don't have a musical background in conducting, but I did grow up singing in choirs. I have a piano performance background. I studied piano performance at Portland State University and also at the University of Texas at Austin, where I got my master's and my doctorate. And then in 1998, I moved to Germany, where I spent 17 years working as a freelance pianist with a lot of singers and string players with an emphasis on vocal literature and also chamber music. And through the course of that, I got to work with professional musicians and sort of somehow started conducting. And so that's when I started working more as a conductor in Germany instead of just exclusively as a pianist. So I found that it combined, especially choral conducting, combined three loves. I love people. I love words. I love talking. And I'm really passionate about music. So it kind of brought all those things together. While I was there, I also was the director of music at Trinity Lutheran Church, which is an English-speaking Lutheran congregation in Frankfurt, Germany, which is where I lived. And so there was sort of central to getting my background and experience as a church musician as well. So.
Sure, sure. So how did the role at St. Paul end up coming about?
My short answer that I give to everybody is it was a God thing. there is absolutely no way I would have ended up here unless God had orchestrated the events in my life in a way that he could. I was, personal circumstances kind of necessitated my coming back to the U.S., and I knew that that's what I wanted, but God provided this job without my even looking. So I was thinking I would do this in several years as I kind of finished out my life there and had what I thought I needed as several years of closure to start a new chapter in my life here. But God said, nope, I'm going to bring you back in 9 months. And so within 4 weeks, I had three job opportunities.
Wow.
For jobs here as music director or some sort of worship situation here in the U.S. So that's how I ended up. This was the third job, and I'm still convinced that the first two jobs was God saying, you're going to get ready for this ride. It's not what you think. It's my timeline, not your timeline.
Sure.
So, it moved very quickly. Actually, the reason that I'm here is because one of the board of trustees members was working at the time in Frankfurt and singing in my choir. He was working for the LCMS Office of International Missions.
Mm-hmm.
And so he sent me an email about the job, and things moved very quickly. That was in August of 2014, and there were a couple email exchanges with a board member who put me in touch with the headmaster of this school, and then we had a Skype interview, and within 6 days of hearing about the job, he offered me the job.
Wow.
So,
that's a fast
turnaround. My head was reeling. I really had to think and pray about a lot of things, but God kept saying, nope, this is where I want you, because it's hard to kind of up and leave everything after all those years to start a new path, because this, I had never taught at a school before.
Sure.
So this was really new.
Sure. What drew you to Germany in the first place?
That was... my children's father is an opera singer.
Oh, wow.
And so he had a job there, and that's why we moved.
Yeah. That's wonderful. What's the transition been like coming back to the States after being abroad for so long?
Well, I'm very grateful to know a number of other missionaries who've had to do this. I didn't go over as a missionary, but it's not easy. It's a lot harder than people ever think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And... it's difficult. There's challenges because this reverse culture shock is much deeper than than I guess I was prepared for. Mm-hmm. But it's been great. I think of all the places I could have come back to, this environment was the most welcoming and most loving and supportive environment. I cannot imagine. It's a small town here, but mm-hmm. everybody seems to know people that I knew, even though I didn't know anybody here at all. They all knew people that I had known.
Yep.
And so that tight Lutheran community was made it very, very special. I have an incredible faculty here that are also, you know, becoming good friends. And so they've helped a lot. Yeah, it's not easy. I've never lived in the Midwest. I don't have any family here. Mm-hmm. So it's all very new.
Yeah, the close-knit circle of Lutheranism does tend to kind of follow you wherever you tend to travel,
yeah.
even internationally or coming back here. It's mm-hmm. it's mm-hmm. that group yeah. of Lutherans. You always tend to know people that know other people.
That's what I've discovered. And everybody seems to be related to each other
yes.
here. And, oh, you must know so-and-so. And as a matter of fact, I do. So it's been really great. It's not been easy, but, you know, God doesn't give us easy things. He gives us things that will help us grow. And he gives us things that are good for us. And he knew that this was a way of working all things together for good. And so, yeah, he brought me here, and I'm really glad that he did. My son is a sophomore here now, and he's just loving it. The international school has been a great environment for him because he and my daughter, of course, both grew up in Germany, and mm-hmm. so they don't know any other life. So mm-hmm. that was a concern as well. So this was a beautiful transition, really, for all of us.
That's great. Now you mentioned that you hadn't taught at a school before. What has that transition been like, going from working with professional musicians to teaching
that was
high schoolers?
A tough transition. We all had some times that were difficult. The students have done remarkably well, and I had to back up because I wasn't sure what high school students were capable of doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so at first, I think my expectations were too high. On the other hand, I had worked with youth and children quite a bit in Germany, but never just full time.
Mm-hmm.
So it was an adjustment for sure. And I think that just having a lot of adjustments going on at the same time in my personal life were also causing a lot of stress, you know, when you first come over and try to figure out why things are the way they are, having never taught at a school. Suddenly, you know, having rehearsals, I was used to 3-hour rehearsals
wow.
with an orchestra. All of a sudden, everything is broken down to 45-minute rehearsals, and, you know, a rehearsal will start at, you know, 1:55 or something, and then the kids have to leave, and they have to put their instruments away, and then another group comes in, and, you know, it might be at 2:25, or rehearsals don't start at times like that for me, so it was an adjustment, but the kids were great, and they really, really got on board with that.
Sure. How have the your students kind of helped pull you along in this new career path?
Well, at first, I think they thought I was a novelty because I would sometimes end up saying German things at them because it's the first thing that came out of my mouth. The
sure.
first day of choir rehearsal was funny. This is a very German community, so all the names are German, but they don't pronounce them the way I did.
Mm-hmm.
So there were a lot of laughs even the first day of school because I was going through a roster and just mispronouncing everybody's name because it's not how they said it. So they enjoyed that, I think, and some people were more resistant than others. This is a school that's quite steeped in tradition,
mm-hmm.
Which is a really neat thing. But if you come from outside of that, you don't understand always why some of the traditions are here. And sometimes I think not everybody always remembers either.
So
some things have changed, and I think it's good to move forward and. Just I have to be myself, and the faculty and the administration has been very good about that. Just letting me be me and do things the way that you know God has given me talents to do things, because you can't try to be somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And the person before me was here for 47 years, so
yeah.
That's a lot of tradition to kind of take over. And yeah.
Yeah, so. those are big shoes to fill.
Yeah.
So what is your approach to encouraging
your students to enjoy music, whether or not they come into your classes enjoying music or really loving mm-hmm. to sing or play an instrument? How do you encourage mm-hmm. those kids to really take a lot of joy in what they're doing?
Well, I think honestly, in any subject, not just music, if the person leading or teaching the children is passionate about what they do, then you just find something really exciting about what you do. If you find what you do exciting, kids will pick up on that, whether it's science, whether it's math, whether it's art, even if it's cooking, you know, I think, and music is something that is easy, I think, to get passionate about because it does evoke a lot of feelings and it's a very natural thing for a lot of children. A lot of children really love to sing. It's, you know, part of who we are. Mm-hmm. And I think that if I'm excited about something, the kids will get excited about it. I've found that, and it doesn't have to be fake because I'm really passionate about what I do. I love what I do, mm-hmm. so that helps a lot. I think. And if I can get them excited about it, then it's fun because then they're more willing to give really everything in order to make it something great.
Sure. So let's talk about the clinic that's coming up, the workshop mm-hmm. That's coming up. That is the Sing at St. Paul Youth mm-hmm. Choral Workshop, and that's for grades 5 through 8. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about when it is and what's going to happen.
Okay. That will happen this year on Saturday, April 8th, and it will be here on campus in the Fine Arts Building, and it will start at 9 o'clock. We ask that people register before, I think it's the 27th of March, so next, it'd be a week from, the 27th of March mm-hmm. is the late registration. That's when we start late registration, just because I have to order music and supplies and things. Mm-hmm. So, it starts at 9 o'clock in the morning, and then at 5:30, it should be over. We'll start a little concert at 5 o'clock of what the kids have learned all day. We'll sing probably 5 songs. They'll sing one song with the Singing Saints, which is the concert choir that I direct here at school. Mm-hmm. And the concert choir will also sing a couple of the pieces. And registration is $25, and that includes all the supplies, and including lunch and snacks for the kids and a T-shirt that they will wear for the concert. Mm-hmm. And this is the second year we did it. I did it last year mostly because I was kind of curious what was out there in terms of what do children do in music these days. Mm-hmm. You know, and having been abroad for so long, I really didn't know, and I wanted to get to know what maybe was potential talent for coming into the school. Mm-hmm. It's a great way to introduce people to our school. It's a great way to get children to know different people. This year we actually have 5 or 6 kids coming down from Minnesota. Wow. And we've got a boy coming from Illinois. We've branched out into offering overnight accommodations on Friday night before the workshop so that people who come from further away can also participate. We don't want this to be something that's just exclusively within maybe an hour's radius of travel time. So I think now that we've offered that, it gives people a chance to come and to kind of see what this is all about and to meet people from all over. I think it's a great chance. The kids loved it last year. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I said, we should do this again.
Yeah.
So we are.
Yeah. And for people who aren't familiar with St. Paul's Lutheran High School in Concordia, Missouri. This isn't just a high school for the kids that are actually in Concordia. There's dormitories, this is a high school that can...
This is a very special school. Mm-hmm. Last night, my concert choir gave their home concert, and our recruitment director made the comment that, you know, we are a boarding school. That makes mm-hmm. us very, very unique. We are also an international school. We have over 70 students out of the 215 students here. Who come from all over the world. So the kids who come here also get to interact with people from all over the world. And then, like, next year, I'm taking my concert choir to Europe. We're going to be touring and singing in 6 different countries.
Wow.
And so it gives a chance for the students here who are more local to get abroad, because we've got those connections, but also those who are international to experience part of America and sometimes to be introduced to the gospel for the first time. I think that that's a really important aspect of singing. Choir, I have found people will sometimes hear about Jesus for the first time because they come to a choir. When you sing in a group, it's a lot less intimidating than saying, do you want to come to church with me? But if you want to come and join a choir, people laugh, people have fun. And I think that that's one of the things that's really important. You mentioned at the beginning about the social benefits and the physical benefits of singing. They've done a lot of studies about things like that. There's all kinds of psychological benefits. You know, music therapy these days has also become much more of a field of study. But socially, it brings people together. And academically, it's proven that kids who study an instrument seem to have better cognitive skills. I only know that because I have colleagues that post stuff like that on Facebook. And, you know, Facebook is a reliable source.
Oh, of course.
But people are always posting, and there's always studies and stuff. But actually, more important for me than the academic and the social benefits, those are extremely important. But the spiritual benefits are also really important when it comes to singing sacred music.
Yes.
Because I start every choir rehearsal with prayer, and we start praying weeks in advance for our audiences, when we go on tour, just because I tell my kids, you are music missionaries. You need to sing as if your life depended on it, because somebody's life might, because you are proclaiming the gospel in song, and you just don't know who's going to hear you and how God is going to work. And so singing is a way that they can use their talents. And so when I talk about the spiritual benefits, it's really not just for the kids themselves, but also for who they're called to be.
Sure.
And they learn a lot of scripture through music. When you think about the great hymns of the church, they're great theology. That's what they're based on. They were written initially, all the old Lutheran German hymns, many of which I knew in German before I knew in English. They really are just sound theology.
Yes.
You really don't get much better than that.
Mm-hmm.
But lots of great choral works are based on scripture, pure scripture. You know, I love conducting Messiah. I've conducted it several times. A complete Messiah is nearly 3 hours long of just scripture. So, you know, you've got the orchestra there, you've got the choir, you've got the soloists, and all they're doing is singing scripture. And you think about it, that's just so much scripture in your head that's just going on, that's coming to the front of your mind, that's helping you, that is comfort, that is encouragement, that is a source of strength and direction for your life, for your spiritual life. And those things are really important.
Sure. I know there are a number of different lectionary readings during the church year where, you know, the pastor will be reading the reading, and all of a sudden a song that we sang in, you know, 6th or 7th grade will just pop into my head, and I'll just start singing it because that's what we learned when we were little kids. Do you find that teaching children, especially maybe at this workshop or even the high school students, teaching them these songs and hymns helps them later with their worship life or in church or being more regular with devotional life or anything like that?
I hope so. I hope so, because what I do is I always tell the kids that, you know, the music is very important, but it always underscores the words. So when we sing, for example, an anthem like the very famous John Stainer, God So Loved the World, we sang that at our concert last night. I said, you know, this is the most well-known Bible verse in the world, probably. But when you sing it, you've got to sing it as if somebody's never heard it before, so that you look at what you're doing as something new every time. And we do that when we read scripture, when we pray. It's not just rote. I mean, it can become that way, I think, and there's a danger in that. But to try to always look at the music that we're working on and to try to discover God's beauty and God's glory in it new each time. And hopefully if the kids can learn to see that, it'll continue on through life. When they go to college and find a church choir or a college choir, or when children are singing in a children's choir and they move up into high school and they want to sing, continue singing, that they'll see that. And I think it's really important.
Sure, sure. So at this workshop that's happening on April 8th, what's the repertoire going to be for the kids?
Well, I'm still deciding on some things,
okay.
but I always try to do a real variety.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very important to expose children at a very young age. It's always been my philosophy. To quality music.
Yes.
There's a lot of trash out there. and I'm not saying I only like classical music or hymns, because that's not true. I love spirituals. I love certain praise music. I love taizé music. Mm-hmm. I love a variety of pieces, but it needs to be good music. So
mm-hmm.
I'm pretty careful about what I select. I always try to include a spiritual or two,
mm-hmm.
Because I think that it's important that they also learn what some of our history is in America, especially. It's a good way to teach
mm-hmm.
How people who didn't read or write learned Bible verses, learned about the gospel, because even broader than just Lutheranism, there's so much music out there that has touched lives, that has, you know, been a way of expressing and worshiping, and spirituals are just a lot of fun. I love music from Africa anyway. It's a different kind of way of worshiping, and I'm very international. I like watching and experiencing how other cultures worship. So I'll try to do a couple spirituals. I almost always try to include one sort of Renaissance or Baroque piece, because
mm-hmm.
I think it's important that the kids get exposed to that. And if you expose them to good music, they'll like it. It's always been my experience. And generally, I try to include a hymn. Not sure if I'll do a German one. It might be a little bit much for this workshop this time. But I find that kids are actually pretty open to learning in a foreign language,
mm-hmm.
and that's I enjoy that too, and my experience and background in languages helps
yeah.
with that.
Sure. Now, does participation in this workshop, does it serve as kind of a springboard for things in the future?
You mean at our school, or
either for recruitment for the school, or for participation in choirs wherever these children are going back to?
Well, I hope so. Yeah, I hope, you know, like any kind of workshop, I hope that all the kids who are singing in choirs will go back and be even more excited about singing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really the biggest goal, is that they come here and they understand that music is an expression of God's beauty, and that they can worship, and music is a way that we worship. Of course, I hope that these kids will come back to St. Paul, because I think that would be great, especially those who may not have a Lutheran high school in the area. We have a fantastic music program that we're working and changing and moving forward with. I think there's a lot of opportunities here that they might not get at a smaller school, and it's a very unique experience for the kids if they come to a boarding school.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, it's really important that they're motivated and that they go away with a deeper understanding of worship and what music does in worship and how they can worship through singing and so that they just pay attention to the words, what they're saying, what they're singing.
Definitely, for sure. With about 30 seconds left, is there anything else that you'd like to say to encourage children to either come to this workshop or to find choral activities wherever they live?
Yeah, well, don't let anybody ever tell you you can't sing. I believe every child can sing. It may take longer than others, but I think that it's a great way to make friends and to learn to worship, and I think, yeah, that's a really great thing to think about, no matter where you are, is that you can always sing. Nobody can take your voice.
Exactly. That is right. So
My guest today, Dr. Jerody Marsh, Director of Music at St. Paul Lutheran High School in Concordia, Missouri, and the Sing at St. Paul Youth Choral Workshop for grades 5 through 8 will be on Saturday, April 8th in Concordia, Missouri. And to find more information and to register, you can go to splhs.org/events. Jerody, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.